You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. 2 years, people across Metro Detroit were hitting the pavement to advocate for racial justice and a fair criminal justice system. In the wake of George Floyd's death, we saw thousands and thousands of people in the streets over weeks and weeks right here in Detroit. But after all the demands and protests and advocacy, what's different about our police departments? What specifically has changed about the way that Detroit's police department serves its citizens? What has changed in an American city that has one of the highest percentages of African-American residents and has a police department that is under the command of an African-American? To talk about all of this is a reporter who has been covering the Detroit police for some time. Eli Newman is a reporter and producer here at WDET, covers breaking news, politics, and community affairs. Eli, welcome to Detroit Today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Stephen.
So let's get right to that question. How has the Detroit Police Department changed since the summer of 2020?
Well, that's certainly a loaded question, but I think that maybe the short answer is that not much has really changed. I think if you were to look at the budget that the police received this year, obviously one of the primary calls during the protest was to, quote, defund the police. Detroit's police budget actually increased. The budget is currently around $368 million. That's a $27 million increase from the year prior. While there have been these certain changes in policy or highlighting the certain use of force policies that Detroit has, you know, things about chokeholds, things of that nature, we did see after that whole protest period that there was a pretty significant lawsuit that was put onto the city by the primary protesting group, the Detroit Will Breathe. They sued the city for free speech kind of violations, also this excessive force. And in response to that, the city did countersue them. Eventually, that lawsuit was thrown out, and there is still this ongoing litigation that's going on there. But that, you know, I think in a nutshell kind of shows that this trajectory that the police department was on, I think, before the pandemic and before George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all of these high-profile police-involved killings, I don't think it's really shifted from that trajectory.
Mm. So we also should put this in some historical context. I grew up here in the city of Detroit and remember the days of the Big Four. I remember the times when the department had to be under federal supervision because of the kinds of interrogations that were taking place. I mean, we have a pretty awful history, in fact, in Detroit when it comes to policing, and particularly policing of African American communities. Talk about how different things are now than then, or if they are sufficiently different from those days. There are a lot of people who say that there are things that seem familiar to those times.
You know, I would say that history that you're referring to isn't really that long ago. I mean, right. The federal oversight in Detroit ended only in around 2014.
Yeah, 2012 or 13.
Or 2012, 13. It was kind of like the start of that trajectory. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty much under the police chief, James Craig's kind of administration is when that federal oversight was being lifted. Now, of course, that during his tenure, there's plenty of federal investigations of how police conducted themselves. I mean, there were significant bribery cases, theft cases. Two officers in the narcotics section were charged with stealing basically almost $1 million in that came out of a cocaine sale. So mm-hmm. there has been this issue of I think corruption that has still kind of manifest. I mean, just, you know, a month or so ago, you know, WDET was able to report on this 200-page report that federal investigators in conjunction with Detroit Police Internal Affairs prepared that really analyzed the major violators in the narcotics section, the history that has transpired over 2010 to 2018 when this investigation started. And it found really rampant corruption, whether it be issues with, there's all sorts of proof that they were able to show about overtime fraud and all this kind of little kind of things like that. But there is also pretty significant claims that by all these different people that they were being interviewed, suspected drug dealers, that the police would often steal from them or employ them to, sell drugs. So there it has been a lot of that stuff hasn't really, subsided. And I should say that there is a coalition that is currently asking the federal government to renew its federal oversight because of this, because of excessive force. I mean, there's stats from last year that there's more than 1,000 cases of use of force, which isn't really that much different than things were in 2020. So there have been these kind of significant cases. There have been police-involved shootings in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't necessarily rise to the same kind of prominence as some of these other high-profile ones, but there's a lawsuit from the family of Michael Adams III. This was a 19-year-old who was shot and killed by police during a drifting race that was happening near the Russell Industrial Center. And his lawyers claim that he was unarmed, that he was shot in the back. That litigation is still ongoing. So, and there's plenty of other, I think, instances where there have been these kind of significant occasions that, we're still kind of seeing how the facts of those cases and as time goes on. Yeah. And a lot of things haven't been settled.
Yeah. I'm talking with Eli Newman, a reporter and producer here at WDET. We're talking about the Detroit Police Department and how it has changed or not changed since the summer of 2020, when we saw massive protests in our city about police and their relationship with the community, their relationship with the community overall, and especially their relationship with African Americans. Want to hear from you during the conversation as well. What do you make of the changes to police departments in Detroit and in neighboring cities since the summer of 2020? What's changed? What hasn't? Have you seen improvements and efforts on the behalf of police to create a fairer criminal justice system or just to deal with people in a fairer way? Also, what would you like to still see happen? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Eli, I want to talk about defund the police, which was a central theme of the protests in the summer of 2020. Now, Mayor Mike Duggan was clear in saying that he didn't agree with that idea. He understood, the feelings behind it and thought that there were things that could be done to, change the nature of policing, but that this idea of defunding the police was not something he was going to get behind. But how powerful is that idea still in Detroit? And are there things that are either likely to happen or maybe already happening that are part of this idea of kind of repurposing money that goes to policing as money that could go to kind of help people in the community before the police intervene or to find other ways to respond to our problem?
So like I said, the police department's budget has only increased since 2020. That being said, there definitely are certain initiatives that the police department is partnering up with local groups in terms of kind of more so with this kind of mental health kind of focus and in response to some of these emergency situations. I think there's definitely that's a consistent call that the current police chief, James White, has made in terms of, we need to address some of these mental health issues. I mean, he's been making some strong, making some oppositional remarks about firearms or the kind of semi-automatic weaponry that was recently used in this the shooting and killing of Officer Lauren Courts, whose funeral was earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been these different, I think, approaches Again, Chief White has this kind of 5-point plan where he's really increased patrols. I think it's hard to say that there has been really that much out of the box thinking in terms of new approaches to policing. Again, there are these kind of initiatives where they are trying to, you know, work on this mental health aspect of it. But again, I think we're seeing a reliance on a lot of technology use. Obviously, you know, Project Greenlight, which many people here are familiar with, that's the surveillance program. You might see them at gas stations or kind of various locations, and that feeds footage to directly to the police department. Mm-hmm. There's ShotSpotter, which is, you know, gunshot detection software. There's recently the city has this contract with Evolve, which is a weapons detection, essentially a checkpoint or a mm-hmm. gateway that you mm-hmm. would go through if there's like a mass public event where, you know, they were being used during the fireworks, for instance. And so that was a situation in which the police was monitoring for potential illegal gun possession, or actually really all gun possession was prohibited from that specific event. So I think there are new approaches, but I wouldn't necessarily say any of them fit the description of that defund the police that yeah. I think a lot of the activists were calling for.
Yeah, let's quickly go to the phones here. Gloria in Detroit. Gloria, I've only got about a minute left, but go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. I just want to make a comment about the police department. And I'm under the 5th precinct on mm-hmm. Detroit's east side, mm-hmm. and we meet once a month. And it's very important to you get to meet the officers, the commander. And we have bingo, and we meet on Zoom once a month. And I think that's important when you attend the meetings mm. and you get to know the police officers.
Yeah. Gloria, you're absolutely right. That kind of community connection with police is really important. Eli, I know that there are lots of instances of that kind of thing that do go on in the city. It's not as though the police are not engaged in it, but it's not everything, right? It's not.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the police do a lot of different outreach efforts. I mean, the other day I happened upon one that was going on at Palmer Park during for Pride Month, and so there are these opportunities, I think, for that community engagement, and I think that is something that residents like Gloria really desire and want to see in their police. The other day I was seeing police doing, you know, foot patrols in a section of Livernois where I hadn't really seen them kind of doing that before. So seeing officers, you know, out and about walking, I think that's there are these steps that I think, you know, that kind of police visibility, that kind of, you know, community building, which is, I think, also a desire that the police department really wants to have. I mean, those are tools that are all at the disposal to kind of fight, which is really, you know, these significant issues of crime that happened in Detroit.
Yeah. Okay. Eli Newman, reporter and producer here at WDET. Great to have you here in the studio. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the meaning and significance of friendship and how its dynamics have changed over the last decade with writer Julie Beck. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.